you a high performer, obsessed with growth, and looking for an edge? Welcome to Mind Body Peak Performance. Together, we'll discover underground secrets to unlocking the full potential of your mind, body, and spirit. We'll learn from some of the world's leading minds, from ancient wisdom to cutting-edge tools and everything in between. This is your host, Nick Urban. Enjoy the episode. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 91 of the Mind Body Peak Performance Podcast. As always, you can find the show notes to this episode at mindbodypeak.com/91. You might have noticed recently that we have been talking more about hormones. These are powerful information carriers that have a disproportional effect on the body and ultimately how you feel and your quality of life. Today, we're going to be discussing one of the weight loss, fat burning, and metabolic master hormones that helps you transform the things that you consume into pure, clean, biological energy. Guiding us through this journey today is Dr. Amy Horniman. Dr. Horniman, sometimes called the thyroid fixer, is the host to the number one podcast on thyroid, called, appropriately, The Thyroid Fixer. She is the founder of the Institute for Thyroid and Hormone Optimization, an organization with transformational, proven approaches to address thyroid dysfunction and support people returning to full health. Dr. Amy is also the creator of the Fixer supplement line, with revolutionary proprietary supplements that are changing the lives of many people. Ultimately, she's a woman on a mission to optimize thyroid patients around the world and give them their lives back. After her own experience of insufferable symptoms, misdiagnoses, and improper treatment, Dr. Amy set out to help others who she knew were going through the same set of frustrations and who were on the same medical roller coaster. If you've been struggling to drop weight, to shed some body fat, you have cold extremities, or overall are having some difficulties with your health in general, this might be exactly what you need. If you find this kind of thing useful, I would love if you'd share it with your friends, your family, your coworkers, or anyone you think could benefit from this kind of information. That's what helps our podcast get found and how I continue bringing you thought-provoking guests each and every single week. Sit back, relax, and enjoy this metabolic masterclass with Dr. Amy Horniman. Dr. Horniman, welcome to Mind Body Peak Performance.
Nick, thanks for having me.
I'm sure people have heard of thyroid and the endocrine system, and perhaps their knowledge ends there. So, can you enlighten us as to why this is an important subject to consider?
First of all, if we look at stats, we can just look at America alone, and 60 million Americans have hypothyroidism. And of that, half are undiagnosed. And I was one of them. So, and I see many, many patients that come to me with all those symptoms, and they've never been given the diagnosis. Maybe they have suffered for years, if not decades, and they've never been properly diagnosed.
Wow. And you were one of those. We will get to your story in 1 second because I'm curious about that. But before we do, what are the non-negotiables you've done so far today for your health, your performance, and your bioharmony?
So non-negotiables built into my schedule. I get up every morning and I have coffee time with my husband, walk the dog, and then I absolutely 100% get in a workout where I am LHSing. So that is lifting heavy, insert whatever S you want. We can just say stuff. But you have to lift heavy in order to build the sexy lean muscle that we all need, males and females. So that is a non-negotiable always built into my day before I start.
I love that. Seems you're part of the whole muscle-centric medicine crowd.
Definitely. Protein first, muscle-centric medicine, the whole deal. It all just works together for our health. It just does.
Well, tell me how you got interested in thyroid. Obviously, you had some personal experience, but where did that lead you?
So I was competing in fitness and figure competitions. So way back in the day, I did it's a form of bodybuilding for those listeners who don't know, but it's the feminine side of bodybuilding where you are still achieving a very lean, athletic, muscular look, but you're not big and beefy and looking like a dude. So you're standing on stage being judged in a bikini and you have to present your best self. And I had done so many of these. I had done some fitness modeling as well. So I knew how to show prep. I knew how to get my body ready for and dieted down for these shows or photo shoots. So I'd done plenty before. This one in particular, one I was getting ready for, it was the NPC Pittsburgh, and it was a bigger show, and the scale was going up instead of down. Now, biologically, that doesn't even make sense. So when you look at a contest prep diet, it's fish, it's broccoli, it's chicken, it's asparagus. You're hitting the gym twice a day. I mean, at least once a day, most of the time twice a day. So if you even if you don't believe in the calories in, calories out model, I mean, come on. When I just told you what I was eating and doing, you would say, well, no, there'd be no way that the body could actually lay down extra weight. Yeah. It doesn't even make sense. So I did what we all do. I went to my doctor and I said, what is happening? This isn't right. The scale's going up. And that scale went up, Nick, like 25 pounds. I stopped weighing after I put on 25 pounds and I'm 5'2". So 25 pounds on a 5'2 frame, not pretty, not fun. I stopped weighing myself because I was getting so frustrated, so depressed, I was in despair because I didn't have any answers. So I went to the first doctor and I was told, you're normal, air quotes here, everyone, normal. Everything is fine. Doctor number two, because I wouldn't accept that, doctor number two says, just eat less and exercise more. I was like, yeah, I don't think that that's possible. Doctor number three told me you're just getting older. Doctor number four told me to learn to live with it and it's all in my head. I forget what five and six said. By then, I was head down on the steering wheel, crying in my car after each appointment, praying that somebody would just give me a diagnosis. Because if you gave me a label, then there was a reason, right? Yeah. Then I wasn't crazy. Then I knew that it wasn't me. I wasn't doing something to myself. Doctor number seven finally diagnosed me and said, you have hypothyroidism. So of course I was pumped. I'm like, yes, there's an answer and there's a pill. And turns out back then I was not in the functional space whatsoever. She gave me T4, Synthroid, and sent me on my way. So I left, I gave it 5 months, all excited. Now I'm going to lose the weight. I'm going to feel better. Nothing changed. Absolutely nothing changed. And you know, when you hear something, like something comes into your world multiple times and you keep hearing it, you go, okay, I need to just call this person. Like, thank you, universe. You're giving me a sign. Thank you, God. You're giving me a sign. I'm going to follow through on this. So I kept hearing the name of a functional practitioner. Back then it was integrative, alternative. We didn't even have the term functional. And I went to see him and he changed my life. He spent the time with me. He looked at all of my labs. We tested everything that needed to be tested. We looked at my eating. We looked at my supplements that I was taking. We looked at every aspect of me, from thyroid to hormones to basic labs to nutrients. And he saved me. And so then he became my mentor and my career path changed. And that's, I now do what he did with patients 27 years ago. I sit, I listen, I paint the picture, I have the labs, like we're laying everything out, go on this medication at this dose, take these supplements, we're going to address this, this, and this. And it's all this big, nice laid out plan that addresses all areas of our health so everything can work together beautifully. And yeah, I credit him for not only being here with you today, but for literally saving my life.
Wow. How did doctor number seven in the conventional route diagnose you with hypothyroidism?
He actually touched my throat, which no other doctor had, right? So our thyroid gland is located between, basically between your chin and your collarbone. So if you go halfway and you gently like put a first finger and thumb on either side and you swallow, that movement is your thyroid. Well, she touched my throat and said, swallow. She goes, oh, you have a goiter. We're going to send you for an ultrasound. You have hypothyroidism. And again, I wish I could go back and see the labs that they pulled. They probably just pulled TSH and free T4, which is a quarter of the picture that you need. But yeah, she actually touched me. She laid her hands on me and actually did something. So I do credit her with that. But when I was doing my own research in those 5 months of no change, I came across all this information about T3. And I went back to her and I said, you know, you have me on T4 and T4 is inactive. There's all this stuff I'm seeing about T3. Like, can we try it at least? She goes, no, I don't do that. I said, well, I'm going to find somebody who does. So that's what kind of led me on my quest. So I do credit her for diagnosing me, but not properly treating me. Mm-hmm.
So will you go ahead and define some of these terms in simplistic terminology, such as T1, T2, T3, yep. T4, RT3, RT4, TSH, there's a lot of them. And I think they're all important to understand.
Hang on to your like biology hats. We're going to get a little bit geeky right now, but all pertinent information. So when we're looking at the thyroid, first of all, the thyroid is your master gland. It runs the show. It runs your body. It runs every organ, every system. It gives you metabolism. It improves your mitochondrial function so you can produce more ATP, which is going to produce more energy in your body. It helps with hair growth. It helps with constipation. It helps with inflammation in your joints. So all of these things, when the thyroid is off, can present as symptoms. So you're going to gain weight. You're going to be fatigued. You're going to be constipated. You're going to lose your hair. Your skin will be dry. You might lose the outer corners of your eyebrow. You might lose your eyelashes. You might have bald spots in your hair. It might be just be thin. You're going to have joint pain. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. So all kinds of issues with the body. So when the thyroid is off, the whole system is off. Now, the thyroid gland produces 4 different thyroid hormones. T1 is really irrelevant. It's small. It's inactive. We don't even pay attention to it. We kind of set it over here. T2 is very, very active, although there's no tests for it yet. We can test for it in studies, but we can't test for it just if you go to Quest or LabCorp. But we're going to come back to that one because that's the forgotten thyroid hormone. T4 and T3, we do test for. T4 is inactive. T3 is active. So T4 has to go through this conversion process. It actually has to kind of morph and change into the T3 in order for it to travel and attach to a receptor site on your cell. So picture every single cell in your body, every single cell, so a whole bunch of little cells. And on that cell, there's a receptor site for a thyroid hormone. Only T3 can attach. It's like a lock and key mechanism. T4 can't attach. It doesn't matter how much T4 you have. If it's not converting over to T3, forget it. You're done. So in order to test that conversion, we can test something called reverse T3. It's the anti-thyroid hormone. So I love using analogies so people can understand. Reverse T3 is like the bouncer at the club. And he's sitting right outside your cell and he's looking at the T3 trying to get into the club. He's like, yeah, you're not getting in. Yeah, you're not getting in either. And the reverse T3, when it's elevated, it's literally blocking your cell from receiving that active thyroid hormone. So that becomes a problem because the cell's like, hey, hello, like I would like to function properly, thanks. But the T3 can't even attach to the receptor site. It's like you trying to get into your house, but you don't have your keys, right? You're not getting in. You're not getting in. So it's very important to test all of those. So all of those thyroid hormones, like I said, except for T2 and T1, it's irrelevant. We want to test for. So we want to test free T3. We want to test free T4. We want to test reverse T3. You're always going to get a TSH. So there's no point in even talking about that because mm-hmm. that's standard care. When you go into your doctor, and if you go into your doctor and you ask for a full thyroid panel, please specify everything that we just said because you will end up getting just TSH because that's what conventional medicine believes is a full thyroid panel. But no, you need all of that. And then you need 2 more. There's thyroid peroxidase and thyroglobulin. Why this is important is those are the 2 markers to test for Hashimoto's. When we're talking about that huge number of Americans that have hypothyroidism, we have to remember that 95% of everybody that has hypothyroidism or slow thyroid function is autoimmune. It's Hashimoto's. So when we're looking at hypothyroidism, we really have to look at the immune system basically attacking your thyroid gland because it thinks it's a bad guy. So we want to test for those two so that we know.
So is that 95% of the 60 million?
The 5% of just true hypothyroidism, meaning your thyroid gland itself, without any kind of autoimmune going on, no kind of destruction or attack on your thyroid gland, just the thyroid gland itself has kind of crapped the bed. It just isn't working very well. So that can be from maybe you had radiation, certain medications, birth control, ladies, is a big one that tanks the thyroid gland. Excessive use of fluoride, fluoride toothpaste, chlorine, bromide, those are killers to the thyroid gland. Let's see what else. Excessive dieting, excessive exercise, eating disorders, all of those can directly tank thyroid function on its own, even without the autoimmune component.
I will bookmark that to return to later because I want to discover and cover all the different factors leading to decreased thyroid function and hypothyroidism. But you mentioned earlier that your first doctor, or the first one that diagnosed you, put you on T4. And as you were describing just now, I was thinking that to compensate for increased inactive version of thyroid hormone, T4, would the body use RT3, reverse T3, to prevent that conversion? Would that be the bottleneck?
Kind of. So you give the body T4. And again, standard of care, what doctors learn in med school is that you check TSH. If TSH is above, and right now the cutoff is a 4.5 in the standard lab value range, where again, there's normal and optimal levels. So functional medicine, we like you below a 2 with the TSH. Conventional medicine accepts you all the way up to a 4.5. So let's say you roll in at a 6. Okay, your doctor might pay attention to you and say, hey, Susie Q, you have a thyroid problem. Here's some T4. Here's some Levo. Here's some Synthroid. And you go on your way, just like I did, all pumped up that it's going to be the holy grail to your symptoms, but it's not. T4 has to go through that conversion process. And let's talk about the things that will increase reverse T3 that will hinder that conversion. So insulin resistance, estrogen dominance, high cortisol, low cortisol, anemia, low ferritin, low minerals, low iodine. I mean, there's just so heavy metals, genetic predisposition to not convert. There's a DIO1 and DIO2 gene that we can test on certain genetic panels. And that tells us whether you are a good converter or not. So the reverse T3 will start to climb. And kind of coming back to what you said, Nick, I don't like it. Like a big red flag to me is when someone is on a high dose of T4. So when someone that's a patient of mine, we're working together, or I have a Facebook group that's huge, a lot of public people are in there, they're posting their labs or asking questions. And as soon as I see someone go, well, I'm on 137 micrograms of T4 and I just go, oh no. That's too much T4. So the more T4 you put in your system, the higher the reverse T3 has a chance to go. Now, are there people out there that convert just fine? And you say, oh my gosh, you're on Synthroid only and you're doing well. 1 out of 1,000 will say, yeah, I'm good. I'm fine. The rest will just be like, well, this is what my doctor has me on. So I guess it's all right. But then you start to ask them, well, like, are you gaining weight? Can you not lose weight? Are you tired all the time? They're like, oh yeah, that's right. I just thought it was me. No, it's because you're on T4 and you're on too high of a dose. So you're pushing up your reverse T3. So not only are we going to change that T4 dose, we're also going to address the factors that may or may not be present pushing up the reverse T3. Now, in my case, I'm T3 only. It's a very small part of the population that don't convert at all. But for me, if you give me a tiny amount of T4, I go hypo long before the reverse T3 climbs. So I'm going to get the symptoms before you see it on the labs. But most people are on boatloads of T4 and they're getting the symptoms with the elevated reverse T3.
So you've already mentioned a bunch of different causes of elevated reverse T3, but what about hypothyroidism as a whole? What are the main causes? And I have a couple here I want to run by you to see your opinions on.
Yeah, I mean, just like we said earlier, there's so many different things that can directly impact the thyroid gland itself from working as it should. Heavy metals, genetics, chemotherapy, radiation, certain medications, beta blockers can be in there, certain antidepressants, birth control pills, synthetic hormones, exercise, like too much exercise, too much dieting. So if you go back to my story, one could say, well, you were dieting down and working out at the gym twice a day. Didn't you cause your own thyroid problem? It's not that lifestyle caused it, but when we're talking about Hashimoto's, when we're talking about any autoimmune condition, listen, I don't care if you have Hashimoto's, rheumatoid arthritis, Crohn's disease, with all autoimmune conditions, there's always a trigger. There's always something that happens that flips that switch from the off position where you were coasting for years in the off position. You had the genetic predisposition for autoimmune, but that switch was in the off position. And then, boom, it turns on. So yes, I do believe that in my case, the competing flipped the switch. Some women, pregnancy. Something as natural as pregnancy will flip that switch. You'll hear so many women say, well, yeah, after my first kid, after my second kid, after puberty, after perimenopause, after menopause, hormonal shifts, huge stressors. So what's been going on the last 2 years? Huge stressor, large explosion of autoimmune conditions. A virus, Epstein-Barr virus, EBV, which most of you have. I'm going to let you know that now because you might be sitting there going, I don't have Epstein-Barr virus. Yeah, test yourself. Because I tested myself and I went, oh, look at that. There it is. Epstein-Barr virus is from mono. So you had mono. I had mono at some point in my life. Don't remember it. Must have been a bad cold. Mom kept me home from school, whatever. But it left a stamp. And that mono that you had leaves behind Epstein-Barr virus. Now, EBV most of the time remains in a nice dormant state, but every so often that can rear its ugly head. And even just the presence of EBV is a huge precursor to Hashimoto. So we kind of have to look at, okay, what causes just primary hypothyroidism where the thyroid gland craps the bed, and then what causes Hashimoto's and what causes that switch to turn on in the autoimmune kind of arena?
Yeah. And I'm guessing fasting would be the same hormetic stressor if you use appropriately, but if you use too much of it, you fast too long, too regularly, then that would also impact
that. Yes, good call. I like that you bring that up because it's kind of like a vicious cycle, right, with thyroid patients. Since so many of them are struggling with weight, they jump on the intermittent fasting bandwagon. And God forbid they're type A too, because then you have the type A's that are like, they're gritting their teeth. They're like, I'm going to fast for 18 hours today if it kills me. Well, it could be killing you just slowly because you're pushing your way through that fast. Fasting is a stressor, hermetic stressor, yes, but still a stressor on the body. If you're sitting there with undiagnosed hypothyroidism or mistreated, you're on T4 only hypothyroidism, then that stress is going to bump up cortisol, which is going to increase reverse T3. So that's a big one. And I know you might be doing it for the weight loss because you think, oh, maybe if I just fast longer, the weight will come off. And it's like, no, just go back to the master gland. When you optimize your thyroid, then everything else that you're doing for your health falls into place and you get rewarded for it. You get the reward for your efforts, for going to the gym, for eating clean, for buying organic, for going gluten-free, for counting your macros, for counting your calories, for doing the sauna, for doing the cold plunges. You know, all of those things that you're doing to desperately lose weight and feel better, you will get rewarded for, and it will stack upon themselves. They'll stack upon themselves for benefits once you optimize your thyroid. Until then, it doesn't matter what you do. I don't care if you do 500 calories a day, your body's not going to lose weight. I don't care if you're on the most perfect, pristine diet in the world, your body's not going to lose weight.
I was talking to my friend Mark Sloan about disease, and he mentioned that it's a energy crisis, an energy deficiency. And once you start supplying the body with the fuel it needs to run the metabolic processes, then you can start to address the downstream consequences. And so it makes sense to start by going upstream to the master gland.
Mm-hmm, definitely. And there's such a huge impact on the mitochondria. So when you're talking about energy balance, you know, we have to look at the function of the mitochondria itself, the powerhouse of the cell. So again, I mean, when you improve mitochondrial function, and that's kind of more along the lines of T2, but when you improve mitochondrial function, then yes, the whole system works better. It starts affecting everything else in the body.
And then on the dietary front, are there any foods that we should avoid? Like, I think the classic group of foods claimed to inhibit proper thyroid function would be the brassica family of vegetables.
Yes. And as long as you cook them very well, because I don't have a problem with you eating cauliflower, broccoli, and Brussels sprouts, just cook them. You don't want to be a rabbit and eat them raw. Just cook them down very well. Use some olive oil, use some coconut oil, avocado oil, and just get in there and make sure they are very well cooked. And then you can have those. The big, big, big no-no, and it still shocks me to this day that people don't know this, that I have to repeat it, but it's true. There's a lot of people that don't realize this. I'll have patients coming in, they're eating tofu, they're drinking soy protein, they're drinking soy milk, soy. And I'm not talking about the little splash of soy sauce at the Chinese restaurant. I mean those huge sources of soy where you are doing the tempeh and the edamame and the tofu and the soy milk and the soy protein powder. No, that is detrimental to your thyroid. Do not do soy. And even if you're on medication and you're taking in soy, there's a pretty big chance that it's going to interfere with your medication absorption. And it's going to increase your estrogen, possibly causing estrogen dominance, which goes back to one of those factors that increase reverse T3.
So the plan there is just to steer clear of soy products because of the phytoestrogens inside them?
That's a great question. I don't even really know why, because other phytoestrogens are okay and can be taken in by a thyroid patient. But soy is just one of those, like, it's just like a bomb on the thyroid. Like, you just want to avoid it. And I mean, listen, if you're vegan, vegetarian, God love you. I would like to try to talk you out of it, but that's not for this conversation. Use other sources. There's so many other sources to get your fake meat than using tempeh and tofu based products. So if you really, really, if you're stuck in your veganism, vegetarianism, go deep and find those sources of bioavailable protein as much as you possibly can, but avoid the soy. Avoid the soy. I'd rather see somebody do like a pea protein than a soy-based protein.
So that's an easy one, an easy switch, or could be an easy switch to make, is if you're having thyroid issues, to start by looking at your nutrient timing, when you're eating, when you're not eating, and then are you eating soy? If yes, maybe try reducing that and seeing how you feel after how long, would you say?
What I would say is give it a good 2 months of soy-free cooking your cruciferous vegetables that are basically goitrogenic, meaning it can cause a goiter on your thyroid, cooking those down, adding in iodine, because iodine is amazing for the thyroid, despite everything that you've heard out there in the world. Iodine is really, really good for the thyroid. Just don't overdo it. And then get your magnesium, your zinc. Gluten-free is a big one. It's not just a fad. You have to be gluten-free. If you have Hashimoto's and you eat gluten, you are causing more destruction of the thyroid gland. So it's going to work totally against you. And gluten-free is not, I mean, it has to be 100%. You can't be, well, I'm kind of gluten-free. No, it's like being kind of pregnant. Like, you have to be gluten-free 100%. So if you implement all of those lifestyle and behavioral strategies, you might get a little bit of a shift in your thyroid function and feel better. If you don't, then you know it's time to go a little bit deeper and look at supplements that you can add in to support your thyroid. Look at maybe adding in T2. Look at adding in berberine if you're insulin resistant, because insulin is hugely inflammatory and also pushes up reverse T3. So then you go one step further, and then if that doesn't work, you go one step further, and that's where thyroid hormone replacement comes in, i.e. thyroid medication. But I like saying thyroid hormone replacement, because you are replacing hormones that are no longer being properly made by your body. I don't want to put thyroid hormone replacement in the same category as a statin or an antidepressant. Like, those are band-aids. Some people need them, a small amount. I would say the majority on those medications just mentioned do not need them, and they are a band-aid for something deeper. But we put thyroid hormone replacement in its own category. It's like bioidentical hormone replacement, right? For guys, you get testosterone. For women, you get testosterone. You get estrogen and progesterone. Okay, you might need thyroid hormone too to replace hormones that are no longer being properly made.
The one last thing I want to ask you on the dietary front before we go on to the treatment options. I read a paper recently on polyunsaturated fats in thyroid. Have you seen anything about that?
Poof is go poof. You know, the debate is crazy out there on the PUFAs. You have most of us, I would say, most of us in the functional space advise against, you know, avoid PUFAs. And my assistant, even, we have her thyroid optimized, but we are trying to optimize her testosterone because that's a very key component in female and male health and even in the function of your thyroid. But she would always break out. Like, we couldn't even give her a little tiny smidge of testosterone or she would get the cystic acne. Like, what the heck is going on? Well, finally, she decided to eliminate all PUFAs, all seed oils, everything. No breakouts whatsoever. So that's kind of interesting because, I mean, here we are thinking, oh, it's the testosterone. It's making her androgenic. She's getting the cystic acne. No, it was the PUFAs, and they were just sneaking in. She's like, listen, I would just do, you know, you're out at a restaurant and she loves tortilla chips. So, hey, those are gluten-free, right? But corn oil, canola oil galore. So she was picking up on the sources of those PUFAs that she was getting in her diet. And when she buckled down and just like going gluten-free, you got to go PUFA-free 100%. And when she buckled down, now she's able to do testosterone therapy without the cystic acne because the cystic acne didn't come from the testosterone. It came from the PUFAs.
Yeah. Okay. Actually, before we go on to the treatment options, let's discuss some of the at-home diagnostics you can do. And of course, they're not going to be as accurate as the clinical labs. But what about like measuring your body temperature and to make sure that that's accurate to also take your pulse rate at the same time? And the iodine test, what about these?
I'll start at the end and work backwards. Iodine test, don't put iodine on your skin and look this. Don't. It does. That's not accurate at all. Like there's zero accuracy with that whatsoever. Iodine testing is incredibly controversial because nobody really knows what's right. So you could go get a blood test for iodine. If you're not taking iodine, it's probably going to come back low. Now, some people who aren't taking iodine, they come back with just a perfectly fine level of iodine. But chances are it's going to come back low. So when you start taking iodine, when you go back for that blood test, it's going to come back flagged high. So it's kind of no longer accurate. It's only accurate that very first time that you test. So for me, I tested my iodine. I wasn't taking it. I was a 6. That's incredibly low. It was actually flagged low. So now that I'm taking iodine, if I test myself again, I'm like 1,200. So it's pointless. And there are, I interviewed on my podcast, I interviewed a gentleman that owns a testing facility that does hair tissue mineral analysis. And I flat out asked him, I said, well, what about iodine? He said, you know, we don't even have that on there because every cell in your body needs iodine. I mean, every cell and your thyroid needs it and your breasts need it to protect against breast cancer and, you know, to grow your hair, you need it. And for your immune system, you need it. Like, why not just take it instead of worry about the testing? And I was like, oh, a big aha moment right there, right? He had a point. Like, why are we so obsessed with testing it? Just take it because you need it. And there's no test that's going to be 100% accurate anyway. So just take it. Now, let me back up to the at-home thyroid testing. You know, I'm not really a fan of the blood spot stuff. Just go to Ulta Labs and order your own actual blood, you know, serum labs and walk that form into your lab draw station, your Quest, your LabCorp, wherever, your hospital. Get a vial of blood pulled out and they will test it. It's the same, if not maybe cheaper than doing these Everly Wells and all these blood spot kits at home. Just go to Alta. It's just like if your doctor ordered it, but you're paying out of pocket. And it's very, very cheap too. So even people who have super high copays for their insurance will sometimes go to Alta because it's cheaper for them to pay out of pocket than to run a big panel through insurance.
How much of all this optimization is a deficiency of the hormones, like say not enough production of the thyroid hormones versus the receptors not being able to recognize the circulating plasma hormone levels?
Yeah, I'm not sure what kind of percentage I would give it. So when we're talking, let's talk about Hashimoto's, you have a destruction of the thyroid gland. So literally when we ultrasound the thyroid gland, it's going to look all jagged and smaller. And, you know, same thing. Like if I came in and the thyroid gland is literally getting beat up, right, by the antibodies. They're getting beat up. So if I came and beat you up every day, would you be here doing a good job interviewing me? No, no, you wouldn't. You'd be tired and you'd be all bruised up and you're like, oh man, I can't think straight today. Same thing with your thyroid. When it's getting beat up, when it's smaller than it used to, it's not going to produce the thyroid hormones that it once did or when it was healthy. So you have that problem in and of itself. So if we're looking at the stats of 95% of hypothyroidism is Hashimoto's and that poor thyroid gland is getting beat up on a daily basis, then you eat some gluten and then it gets beat up even more and you literally grow your soldiers, you grow the antibodies, you increase the antibodies, and then you throw on, you know, viral load and heavy metals and all that. Now the antibodies are getting bigger. Your army's getting bigger. That army's going out and attacking. That is at the level of thyroid hormone not being enough for the body. At the cell level, it's very, very rare that I see someone have a receptor site problem short of those people that are, and they're fewer than you think, the ones that are really loaded down with heavy metals. They got a mouthful of amalgams, like the silver fillings. They got a mouthful of mercury. They're living in a moldy house. You know, they're working at a job, like they're a hairdresser. They're exposed to all kinds of chemicals all the time. You know, those people that have a huge toxic burden on their body, yeah, it could be the receptor because they're the people that we might keep going up and keep going up and keep going up in their medication, and it's not producing the result that it should, and their thyroid hormones look good on paper, but it's not producing the result that it should. You know, then we have to kind of go really deep and really peel that onion to go, okay, what about hormones? What about testosterone level? What about insulin? What about magnesium? What about iodine? What about? And then we go down to, okay, maybe it's heavy metals. Let's check that. Maybe we need to do a heavy metal detox after you get the mercury out of your mouth. Let's do that. So it's all just, it's about starting with the obvious and coming inward to the less obvious.
Well, let's go right into it, Dr. Horniman. What would you say is your thyroid optimization protocol?
Test, don't guess, first of all. So you have to test and treat the free T3, reverse T3. Those are the two most important tests. Like, I honestly don't even care if you get a free T4. I really don't. I like to look at it as part of the panel, but let's look at your free T3 and reverse T3 and those Hashimoto antibodies. Let's test, not guess. Then let's use thyroid hormone replacement if we have to. Let's also test and address testosterone. Now, I dropped that earlier saying that it plays a role with thyroid, and it does. So we want to make sure that your testosterone, whether you're male or female, I want you in the optimal range for testosterone because testosterone actually helps with autoimmune. That's why you guys don't have a lot of Hashimoto's. Us women do. We naturally have lower levels of testosterone. Now, for women, ladies, your testosterone is the most abundant hormone in your body. Did you know that? It is not a dude hormone. Now, guys will have higher levels of it, and they should. And those higher levels of like 800 plus, and that's optimal. If you're a guy coming in at 500, you're not optimal. 800 plus of total, 200 plus for free, that is protecting you from autoimmune. So it's very, very protective. So if your testosterone is for a male, if you're 200, 300 for a female, I've seen females with undetectable limits of testosterone. I've seen women have a 3. I've seen them have a 6. Optimal total testosterone, ladies, over 50. I don't care what the lab value range is. Well, my lab gets cut off at 48. Well, yeah, don't even look at the standard lab value range. Just put it out of your head, out of your head. There's functional medicine optimal, where we say, hey, guess what? You know what we did? We tested all the really fit people and the healthy people, and we took their levels and said, that's where you're going to be optimal. We didn't take the overweight, obese, diabetic, lazy, yeah, sitting on their couch, eating sheets people and test them and say, here's your range. No, do you want to be them? No, you want to be the fit, healthy person that's kicking ass through life. So that's who we tested to get those optimal ranges. So ladies over 50 total, by the way. So we have to test and address low testosterone. We have to test and address insulin, like we talked about already. Then I always implement the use of T2. So I've been studying T2, oh gosh, 15 plus years. And it's interesting because T2 was used by bodybuilders, because bodybuilders are the OGs of biohacking. So anything that you see, yeah, Ben Greenfield or Dave Asprey or anybody else in the biohacking space talk about, bodybuilders did it first to themselves and experimented, yeah, and said, hey, this actually works. So when you listen to bodybuilders, they talk about T2. Bodybuilders are notorious for abusing T3. Why? Guess what? It speeds up your metabolism, helps you lose fat. But the problem is, when you have too much T3, even though it's the active thyroid hormone, it's going to burn your fat and your muscle at the same time. Now, that's not cool for any of us. It's definitely not cool for a bodybuilder, not cool for any of us, because we want that muscle. It's more metabolically active. It protects against disease. It protects our bones, on and on. So when you really look backwards, you'll see interviews of bodybuilders saying, yeah, you know what? I like to use T2 instead because it only burns body fat and it preserves the muscle. It doesn't go for the muscle. So that alone increases your basal metabolic rate, improves mitochondrial function. So I always implement T2 with everybody, because it's not going to change your thyroid labs. It's not going to make you hyper. It's not going to make you look hyper. It has no cardiovascular effects. Sometimes when I start people on T3, they go, oh, you know, I'm getting these heart palpitations and my heart's racing a little bit. I'm just not really comfortable. T2 doesn't do that. So I'll implement that. And then we'll get into the diet. And I always say, your labs tell me how you should eat. Your labs will tell me if you're dehydrated, if you're eating enough protein, if you're eating too many carbohydrates. You can't lie. Like, when I look at your labs, you can't lie. I was meeting with a patient today. I'm like, okay, so what's been going on over the last couple months? Because your A1C and your insulin went up. Well, you know, the holidays, and I was eating. I'm like, uh-huh, I can see that. And I can see if you're low in protein. I can see all of that. So that's going to guide us in kind of the type of diet that you should be implementing. It's going to guide us on your macros. So all of you should be doing gluten-free. We know that. We talked about it. And I prefer, obviously, a protein-centered diet. So 1 gram, I go 1 gram per pound of lean body mass, or what you would want to be. So if you're 150 and you're like, you know, my weight where I'm really comfortable is 120, then let's go like 110 to 120 grams of protein. So focus on protein, because everybody needs that. And then the carbohydrates depend on whether or not you're insulin resistant. So that might adjust the macros just based on your labs and your insulin A1C levels. So then we really personalize the diet, address any nutrient deficiencies, and we're kind of doing that all together. So that's like my standard thyroid protocol, but it's done all together. It's not just done one thing at a time. After we do all of that, and those are the basics. I mean, I know those aren't probably the basics for conventional medicine, but those are the basics for me. Mm-hmm. Then we can kind of get into the other stuff. So if I'm meeting with somebody and I think, there might be a cortisol thing going on based on their symptoms, what they're telling me, they get a second wind at night, they can't get going in the morning at all, or maybe they are just low and in the basement all day long with their energy. Oh, wait, but their thyroid looks good. Okay, let's check cortisol, because maybe cortisol is too low and they're just dragging through the day. If they have a ton of gut issues, or if they're not tolerating the T3 that we're giving them, then maybe we go check the gut and we look for all of those things that something like the GI map does: SIBO, H. pylori, Candida, beneficial bacteria, parasites, all those things. So maybe we might go deeper into the gut. But again, I am very frugal, by the way, with my patients. So I don't believe in starting out of the gate with $1 billion in functional testing. I say, let's do the serum, let's do the blood, let's start there, let's do all the things that I just mentioned. then we can go on to the functional test, because that's an out-of-pocket expense and that can add up. So let's stick with the basics first.
Why not just start with T2? What are the downsides of it?
You know what? I haven't been able to find any downsides. So I've combed through the studies. I've actually been using it with my patients for 15 years. Now, because the bodybuilders started with it, a bodybuilding company came out with it years and years and years ago. And it's really hard to get a 45-year-old female to buy something with like an angry face on it from like an angry bodybuilding company. So I did my own research and I'm like, I'm going to manufacture my own because I want my patients to have it. I don't want them scared off by like a website, right? So I did I've combed through the literature and there are no cardiovascular side effects. There are no fibromimetic side effects. Like I said earlier, it doesn't affect the thyroid function. It does not affect or burn through your muscle. It essentially, one study actually said like it's exercise in a bottle, which I'm always careful about saying that because I don't want you taking it and sitting on the couch, but it does have, for lack of a better word, kind of like a stimulatory effect on the muscle fibers. So it's not that you're going to get some anabolic muscle growth from it, but you are going to kind of stimulate the muscle tissue. And then if you actually add on working out on top of that, hey, look out, you know, that's fantastic.
So it's classified as an exercise mimetic?
One of the studies or somebody talking about it called it exercise in a bottle. And I was like, ooh, you got to be careful calling it that because people are going to take it and be lazy. It has an effect on the muscle, we'll say. We'll just leave it at that. It has an effect on the muscle. But I still want you working out with it. The other, it actually increases your basal metabolic rate, so your BMR. So that is the amount of energy that you are expending at complete rest. Not walking, not talking, not working, not standing, like total sedentary rest at your basal metabolic rate. So it's improving that and increasing that. So that means you are going to burn more calories before you even do anything. It's just, I mean, the effects of it are so amazing. And when you look at it, so where we could measure it, one study on humans showed a 4% reduction in body fat in 28 days. Now, for those of you who don't, you know, 4%, you hear the 4 and you're like, that's not that much. 4% of body fat is huge. That's a huge reduction in a short amount of time. So that was a human study done. And then in other studies where we have the assay, the test for the T2, we can measure T2 in pregnant women. And you know what's interesting? T2 is very, very low in pregnant women. Why? Because the body knows to slow down the metabolism to sustain life. So when a woman is pregnant, she does not, nor should she be burning fat. She doesn't need a sky high metabolism. She doesn't want a sky high metabolism. So it's interesting to see the times where the body actually lowers T2 to preserve. It's literally like a preservation mode. So in a non-pregnant state or in our day-to-day life, you know, when we're trying to live and be happy and be fit, we want that T2 up. T2 does occur. It is in natural desiccated thyroid. So those of you on NP thyroid, Armour, Nature Thyroid back in the day before it was pulled, that is natural desiccated thyroid. So it's just the thyroid gland of usually porcine pigs dried and desiccated. There is T2 in that, but it's very, very small. So in a 60 milligram tablet of, let's say, Armour thyroid, really when you do the math, there's probably only about 7, 8, 9 micrograms of T2. Now, my supplement, the Thyroid Fixer, and the studies all use between 150 and 300 micrograms. So you can kind of see the difference. Oh, okay. You know, yeah, you're getting a little bit of T2 and NDT, but it's not enough to have that effect.
Do you stack thyroid in like T2 with other hormones like pregnenolone and progesterone?
Yep. I love all hormones. I just have a love for hormones. They give us life. They keep us young. They keep us active. They protect our brains. They protect our heart. They protect our breasts. They just protect and they give life. Hormones protect and give life. So, I mean, based on what you need, and again, this is where the testing comes in. If you need pregnenolone, fantastic. I have Alzheimer's in my family. My pregnenolone's low. I'm not going to let that. Pregnenolone is very neuroprotective. So I take pregnenolone both for prevention that is in my genetic lineage, as well as adrenal support and overall hormone support because it's a precursor for all hormones. I take estrogen. I take progesterone. I take testosterone. I take thyroid hormone. I do peptides for growth hormone. So I love all hormones. I mean, we're gonna do it all. Again, this isn't a case of, well, let's do this one thing and then do the wait and see game as you gain another 10 pounds and lose your job because you can't even go to work. Let's just do it all at the same time. Let's just do it all and get you feeling better.
What's your stance on the bioregulators and the peptides that alter thyroid function?
Bioregulators are on my list of things to research. Peptides, I've done a decent dive in. Bioregulators, I still need to dive further. I think there's a lot of potential there. So even when we're looking at peptides, they're sequences of amino acids. And guess what? The drug companies have already jumped on the bandwagon of peptides. The new GLP-1 agonists that are out, Mounjaro, Trulicity, Ozempic, peptides. So, but it's $1,000 a month if you get it as a drug form. Hello. So it's going to be a short amount of time before the drug companies clamp down. Well, they've already started clamping down on peptides because they want to make it into a medication and sell it to you for a boatload of money. But peptides in and of themselves do work. So we can look at things like thymosin alpha. Thymosin alpha is fantastic for immune regulation, but when you actually stimulate the thyroid gland or thymus gland and get that working better, your whole system works better. Just everything works better. So in the case of Hashimoto's, again, when we support the immune system, Hashimoto's is autoimmune, but we want a very strong, robust immune system. This isn't the case of something like, let's say MS, where they're giving immunosuppressant drugs. We don't want to suppress your immune system in the case of Hashimoto's. We want to support it. Because when we support it, it calms everything down and prevents those soldiers from attacking. So thymosin alpha 1 is great. BPC-157, both oral and injectable. Oral is better, obviously, for gut issues. Injectable is fantastic for any tissue injury. I use it post-surgery. I use it for in general pain. Not a direct effect on the thyroid, but still something great to have in your repertoire. GHKCU, fantastic for hair, skin, nails. So again, not direct effect on the thyroid, but many thyroid patients have the dry skin, are losing hair, have really thin, fragile hair. So that over time really works well for that. Then we have I mentioned the growth hormone. So you have the GHRP, so the growth hormone releasing peptides. And then you have like the Ipamrelin, Semrelin, Tesamrelin, CGC, 1295. Those all kind of stimulate the, if I'm getting all of them right, I think I'm combining all of them in my head, but stimulate the pituitary to produce more growth hormone. One of those two, but they're all kind of good. You can kind of mix and match there, but don't do it on your own. I recommend doing some kind of protocol that's already laid out for you or working with a doctor that actually knows peptides, because peptides do have an effect on the body. That's why the FDA is clamping down on trying to make them into drugs. But you do want to do them right. There's some of them that like you can't really do wrong. And there's some of them that you can do wrong. So it's always best to work with somebody.
And with the growth hormone related peptides, you want to make sure you're stacking a GHRP with a GHRH. That's it. But of course, you're going to want help with that because it's safer to do it under the guidance of someone who knows what they're doing. But have you seen any impact on thyroid from red light therapy or infrared sauna usage or cold exposure via like a cold plunge?
Red light therapy, the studies are out. I mean, I've been trying to find something to the contrary. I've been trying to find the one study that says, that red light, it's just a red light shining on your skin, doesn't do much. I can't. All the studies are positive. It's crazy. And I have 3 red lights, but I always question myself. I'm like, I'm just standing in front. This is really doing something. Is it really doing something? But when you look at the studies, and listen, studies can be flawed. You have to have some kind of research background to really comb through a study. Yeah. But when you have 10 of them lined up, all 10 weren't done poorly. all 10 aren't biased. You know, they're not all sponsored by Juve, right? So there has to be something to this when you have 10. So yes, on thyroid function, I have seen very, very positive effects with red light on the thyroid. Absolutely. Infrared saunas, I'm a huge fan of. I'm a huge fan of hot yoga. I think it just helps detoxification of the body. It helps reset hormones. It helps your adrenals. The deep breathing hits your parasympathetic nervous system, and just the heat stress. Mm. Again, it's another hermetic stress. That heat stress increases your metabolism. Yeah. So when we are looking at thyroid function and optimizing your thyroid function and getting you to lose weight, right? So let's take it up a notch. Let's get you detoxing. Let's support your liver, because the liver is often forgotten, but it's hugely important with when we're talking about metabolism and conversion of T4 to T3. So liver function, detoxification, love infrared, love it, love it. And then what was the last thing you asked about?
In my perspective, the liver is the unsung hero of the body.
It is. It doesn't get enough love. It just doesn't. Yeah. But on your cold thermogenesis, yes. So, let me tie this into T2. There's something I forgot to tell you about T2, and this ties into cold thermogenesis. So when we do like cold plunges, ice baths, Wim Hof method, cold showers, I won't even put cryotherapy in there, because unless you're going into one of those like meat lockers where your head gets in, it doesn't have the same benefit. So when we're talking about like plunging in, there is activation of brown adipose tissue, your BAT. So you have white adipose tissue and you have brown adipose tissue. Now, when we say you want more brown fat, most people are like, why would I want more fat? It's like, no, you want less white fat. White fat is the squishy stuff that you can grab. It clogs your organs. It causes type 2 diabetes. It causes all kinds of issues. Brown fat is actually brown because of the iron in it and because of the amount of mitochondria in it, loaded with mitochondria. So it actually turns that fat brown color. And it's so active. So brown fat, when it's activated and we have more of it, we reduce insulin. We become more insulin sensitive and less insulin resistant. Our basal metabolic rate goes up. We preserve muscle tissue. I mean, the benefits of brown fat are tremendous. And again, that's something else that T2 does. It stimulates brown adipose tissue. So whether you're jumping in cold water every day, taking the Wim Hof showers, or you're taking T2 or you're doing both, you are activating that brown adipose tissue, which is hugely beneficial on your body, on every part of your body. So in order of importance, I would say, gosh, I mean, I do all three, right? But I would say the cold plunges, the cold thermogenesis, infrared sauna and red light kind of like go hand in hand, but I'm going to put infrared above red light, because with the infrared, then you're getting the sweating and the detoxing and all that too.
Nice. That's a comprehensive overview of those. So Dr. Horniman, if people want to connect with you and pick up your Fixer supplements, how do they go about that?
You can go right to my website, dramyhorniman.com, or you can go to fixersups.com, F-I-X-X-R-S-U-P-P-S, fixersups.com. And that you'll see my whole range of supplements that just specially formulated for you guys. The T2 is the thyroid fixer. Hormone fixer increases women's testosterone naturally. I do have a liver fixer in there because, like you said, we need to give our liver some love. I have blood sugar fixer because of the insulin resistance. There's a ton of different ones in there. So I guarantee you high quality. They absolutely work. Actually, when we first released Thyroid Fixer, sold out in a day, but then we were getting all kinds of messages really within like 2 weeks of people saying, oh my gosh, my energy's better. Oh my gosh, my clothes are fitting better. Now, some people, it takes a couple months, and some people, they see results in a few weeks. So, you know, be patient. Results may vary, that whole thing. But it absolutely does work. So you can go there. You can listen to my podcast, the Thyroid Fixer podcast, where I dive into all of these topics that Nick and I talked about today, just even deeper, going deeper on T4 only and deeper on testosterone in women and testosterone in men. So all of that. So yeah, just connect with me one way or another. Of course, we're all on social, right? Instagram, YouTube, Facebook. Definitely check me out there. And I do have a private it's a public private Facebook group. It's one of those groups that you can actually get into and see the posts and interact with people. It's called Girl Fix Your Thyroid, and we have over 4,000 members right now. I'm in there answering questions. You can jump in there if you're not quite sure. Like, do I have a thyroid problem? Do I not have a thyroid problem? get in there, post your labs, ask questions. The people in that group, I mean, even beyond myself, they're educated. They're amazing. Great support system in there for the newbies coming in. And then I'm in there answering your questions too.
Perfect. And for your thyroid fixer, is that pure T2 or are there other things in it as well?
There's also L-tyrosine, and L-tyrosine is very, very important for the thyroid. Also helps with T4 to T3 conversion. It's kind of one of those important nutrients. So it's not just T2. There are other thyroid supportive ingredients in it as well.
Are you a fan of essential amino acid supplements?
Definitely, definitely. Essential aminos and branched chain, I like the essentials a little bit better. And especially since if you are getting to the gym, if you are lifting heavy, I like having my aminos through my workout, because as you're catabolizing and breaking down your muscle, you're literally kind of on a leucine drip, right? If we can get leucine in our bodies all the time, we'd have really beautiful muscle. But getting those amino acids in as it's being broken down, giving your body the building blocks.
Yeah, and I've seen some research that the essential amino acids are much more effective at muscle preservation and preventing some of the negative potential effects of the BCAAs alone.
I agree. I've seen that too.
Well, this has been fun. Let's start to wind down. And if there was a burning of the books and you got to save the works of three teachers, who would you choose and why?
All right. First of all, in my thyroid space, if we go back the 20 some odd years when I was going through hell, Dr. Karazian, I don't even know the name of his book. Like, what if it's my thyroid or something like that? I have an old paperback book that has beaten the hell and back. And I relied on that book back then because it spoke functionally. It said the things that I say today, the reverse T3, the free T3. So we got to save that one, right? We just have to. I mean, until I whip out a book for you guys, we got to save that one. And then next up, well, gosh, I probably should have put this first, right? Can I put the Holy Bible in there? Because listen, without God, I've had so many miracles in my life, so many miracles. I mean, way beyond my own health into, well, there's some miracles with my own health when I was young and had scoliosis. My dad's life basically was saved by a miracle. So, you know, listen, we got to put that up there, right? I mean, just all kinds of praises to God. And then third actually would be the Art of War. You know why? Because you can apply that to relationships. You can apply that to friendships. You can apply that to work. I mean, you can apply, if you really get into the Art of War, you can really, I mean, it's been joked about on TV, you know, different movies and whatever, fight the enemy where they aren't, but no, you can really apply that to multiple areas of your life. So it's kind of a little pocket guide for life.
Well, Dr. Horniman, how would you like to wrap this episode up today?
You know, I like to give the message of hope, because we've talked about we haven't talked about doom and gloom, but we've talked about like symptoms and being tired and overweight and you can't lose and you're constipated and all the things. But we're talking about that to end with hope that you absolutely can get answers. You absolutely can change all of these symptoms around. You don't have to go to doctor number 6, 7, 8, 10. There's hope. Now you might have to keep trying. Part of this is encouragement to not stop and believe your doctor when you're told that you're normal, but inside you feel and you know that something is wrong, because you know your body better than anybody. So when you feel and you know that something is wrong, listen to that voice and keep plugging away. So I ask the question quite often, what if I would have stopped at not even doctor number 2. What if I would have stopped at 4? Because, you know, 4 is a really good number, right? We talk about second opinions. My God, that's a fourth opinion. What if I would have stopped at doctor number 5? 5? That's a lot. Really? 5? I should stop. I should just accept what they're telling me. What if I would have stopped? I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here with you today. I would be, I don't know what. I mean, I'd be 25 plus pounds overweight. I would be tired. I'd probably be bald. I mean, I would just be in hell. I'd just depressed. I mean, I can't even imagine. So my message is hope, and keep going and listen to your body, because you know your body.
Well, thank you for going to doctor number 5, 6, 7, and 8 for us, because we wouldn't have gotten this thyroid masterclass had you not.
You're quite welcome. My pleasure. My pleasure.
I'm Nick Urban, here with Dr. Amy Horniman, signing out from mindbodypeak.com. Have a great week and be an outlier. Thank you for tuning in to this episode. Head over to Apple Music, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts and leave a rating. Every review helps me bring you thought-provoking guests. As always, you can find the show notes for this one at mindbodypeak.com/and then the number of the episode. There, you can also chat with other peak performers or connect with me directly. The information depicted in this podcast is for information purposes only. Please consult your primary healthcare professional before making any lifestyle changes.